I want us just to think about what God has gifted us with and for. I'm preaching on this, so when I'm here, I'm preaching this series called Arise, and it's based on Isaiah 60, this lovely passage. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But listen to this. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. And we're just working through a whole series of what that means. It's basic discipleship, what God wants to do in our world today, and what he wants his church to be and to do as we see this glory revealed throughout the earth, as the waters cover the earth, yeah? But we've got a part to play in that. And that's what I want us to be thinking about over these coming months as we think about this passage. So we've got this word arise, and we're going through each letter A. And A is for ambitious, being ambitious for the kingdom. Being ambitious for the kingdom of God. And a couple of weeks ago, we just started looking at this, or part of looking at this was from Ephesians 4. Do you remember we talked about how Christ descended and then he ascended? Remember, we talked about his descent and his ascent. And we just talked about how this is really important for us as individuals, but it's not wholly about us. We talked about how this is important for the church, but it's about much, much more than the church. And if we make it about the church, what we do for here for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, we're missing the point. We saw how his focus, his mission, his will, his purpose, his plan are in fact, as it says in that verse, for all things everywhere to come under his rule and his reign, his kingdom. Do you remember it said Christ descended and then he ascended in order to fill the whole universe? New Living Translation puts it this way, in order to fill the whole universe with himself. Now, I think this is a battleground. I think this is such a battleground. Because if we embrace that vision for all things everywhere to come under his rule and his reign, then we're going to be doing what we're called and created to do. The battle comes when we start talking about what it's all about, what I want and what I need and what I, you know, it's about what we do here on a Sunday morning. Suddenly everything turns inward and we forget that there is this vision, this mission, this purpose for all things everywhere to come under his rule and his reign, for him to fill all things. Today, I want us just to look at an aspect of that passage from Ephesians 4 that I think we need to read it, actually, just to remind us. So Ephesians 4, I'll just read a few verses. Starting in verse 7, but to each of us, grace has been given us as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The bit I want to talk about today is this giving of gifts that it talks about in this passage. The giving of gifts as we seek to be equipped, built up, unified, and becoming mature. As we seek to lay those foundations on which we can then build and we can grow and we can fulfill what it is that God has called us to. I want to talk and think about, I mean, Donna's touched on it in what she was saying, one of those gifts, the apostolic gift, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But what it says there is, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Talked about this, I mean, it's a picture that Paul is using of a returning general, from a victorious returning general. So he comes back from the battle, and there's the procession, and in his train is the captives, those that he has overcome, and we talked about that last time. But as he goes, he's giving gifts, and it's those gifts that I want to talk about today. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. The word gave here is much more than me simply saying, there you go, Jem, I'm going to give you this pencil. It's about the giving of a gift. It's about the giving of a gift. And it's a gift that will bless. But as we've heard already this morning, it's also a gift that will cost. Because it's about blessing others. It's about blessing the world. It's about bringing all things everywhere under his rule and his reign. So ultimately, yeah, it's a blessing to us, but it is for the fulfillment of this mission and this ministry and this mandate that we have in Christ. But it's given to us by the descended and the ascending glorified Christ. He's giving these gifts to his church so that we can fulfill the resurrection mission and mandate that is upon us. They're given so that all things everywhere can be subject and surrendered to Christ. If we make it about ourselves, we're missing the point. If we make it about my gift, we're missing the point. We can find ourselves building ourselves up. We can become quite full of self-importance. As Donna said, you know, sometimes you think, how can I do this? You know, you've got to recognize the gift, but it's about much more than ourselves. The other thing that we need to keep in mind is that actually that gift needs to hold its rightful place in our lives. Because if it becomes about me and my gift, when that gift is not used, what happens? We take offense. Oh, I feel so overlooked. I've had it. Use me or lose me. I normally say, you know, because that's not the attitude that we have when we're using the gifts that God is giving us. This is about the church assuming and operating in its co-laboring role with God. It's about his plan to redeem and restore everything to its original design. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Think about that. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Hebrews 10. But when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Think about that. What's it saying? He waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. It's about the church fulfilling, it's about us fulfilling our mission, our mandate to bring everything under his rule and his reign. So before we look at these gifts, I'm going to look at them briefly, or we will be here all day, but I want to say a few things because I think these are really important. The first is that we recognize that we need each other to fulfill these gifts, to fulfill this mission. We need each other. You know, as a member of the body of Christ, we all have different gifts, different roles, and that means we need each other. Because no one except Christ is the total complete person, the one who has all the gifts. So if no one has all the gifts and we all have separate differing gifts, then inevitably and obviously we need each other, don't we? I mean, this is really important. We need each other. And we don't just need each other, we need to honour each other's gifting. Because I do see it. A lack of understanding of another person's gifts can create tension. But you don't see it the way I see it. It's because we're different. And we have different gifts. So difference is good. Difference is God's idea, which means it's a good idea. And it's just born out of the diversity in humanity. If we were all the same, life would be very boring, wouldn't it? But we're different. So we're to celebrate our differences. And we're not to despise our differences. We're to celebrate it. And we're to seek unity in the midst of it. And thirdly, as I've touched on already, it's about exalting and lifting up Christ. That's what we need to be doing. As soon as we make it about lifting up ourselves, then we start falling into the trap that I talked about earlier, where we're easily offended or we feel puffed up and proud. So five different gifts that I really want to fly through okay? They all matter. They're all important. But as I describe them, briefly as it will be, I want you to think about what resonates with you. What is it that's stirring? What is it that kind of identifies something of who you are and what interests you, what ignites you, yeah? As we look at these five gifts. Now, often we talk about it in terms of leadership, and I think it's really important, and I think as a leader in two churches, it's very important that we think about balance in our leadership teams. So to a degree, it is about leadership, but actually I think it's about much more than that, and it's about everybody, because Christ is distributing, he is giving these gifts. So let's just take a look at each of these gifts. So one of the first gifts that we want to talk about, again, Donna's talked about, is the apostolic. And it's an interesting one, because I think it's been hijacked. I think we've developed an understanding of the apostolic, and it's actually taken away from the church the freedom to talk about it. There's almost an embarrassment when we start talking about the apostolic. But actually, it's here. It's in the book, isn't it? Jesus talked about his apostles. Paul, describing different roles within the church, talks about the apostolic. There are levels and layers of the apostolic. There are the apostles, Jesus' apostles, yeah, in the early church. There are people who have a specific apostolic ministry in a place or an area. And I would say Donna has a workplace apostolic ministry over an area. Not everyone's calling that one, but it is Donna's. And that's why it's good for her to talk about this today. But then we all have an apostolic calling. Okay, every single person in this room has an apostolic calling when you understand what the word apostle means. It's a Greek word, yeah, and it was used by the Romans to describe a person who would go to a place that had been taken over, had been conquered by the Romans. And what they would do, they would just take a person, the apostle, and they plonk them in that place, and they wouldn't take everything apart just to put it back in like it looked like Rome. What they would do is they would put a person in that place, and their role would be to influence and shape and change everything over time for it to start to model and look like Roman rule. Yeah? And when you look at it in those terms, you can start to understand why this is an important word. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. The apostle takes the things of heaven and brings them to earth. It's a co-laboring with God by the power of the Holy Spirit, but that's the role. That's why we all have an apostolic ministry. You have an apostolic ministry in your home, in your social circles, in your workplaces, wherever God has put you. There's an opportunity to influence and shape and change, to bring heaven to earth. Yeah? There are some people who have a specific apostolic ministry, strategic thinkers. They're always looking to build bridges and alliances, often looking to get Christians from different churches working together to pray, because that's a key for revival and renewal across a town or a region. There are people who have these specific roles, but ultimately it's about changing the atmosphere. It's about changing the environment. We've seen and heard a little bit about the fruit of that apostolic thinking from Donna. You know, I'm sure others could tell stories about when they just start praying for your workplace and God starts to move. Apostles are not status quo people. Their natural strength is to forge the way ahead. They often need to work alongside others to help them to facilitate change and bring stability. So just a little bit about the apostolic ministry. Then there are the prophets, those who hear God, both for the moment and for the future. Again, I think we all can speak prophetically. You know, God speaks to each and every one of us. But, you know, at the same time, I believe that there are those people who have a specific prophetic ministry. Those people who can bring that revelation of God into a situation or a context. You know, sometimes in an outreach context, they just got that word that comes, and it's like an axe falling at the base of a tree. Boom! And it just brings that person to that place of greater understanding, moves them forward. That's just one example there. You know, their motivation is that people hear and take hold of what God is saying. And the fruit for the prophet is that that people kind of hear what God is saying, they receive it, and it shapes and changes them. Interestingly, prophets need apostles. Prophets need the apostolic, because what the apostolic do is take the prophetic and they can apply it and lead people into it. Obviously, we need to weigh and measure what the prophets bring. But my personal view is that I would like to see more of this in the life of our church. Because what I see and have experienced and would like to see and experience more is that when the prophetic comes, it can quickly and easily lift us to a place of, I think, in a greater encounter. You know, we've had people come with a word of knowledge here. And to be honest with you, it's been a bit odd. It's been a bit weird. But it's spoken into someone's heart and someone's life here in the congregation. And suddenly, we're saying, oh, it doesn't seem so weird. So I want to make space for that, yeah? And I think we should be making space for that prophetic word being spoken. Yeah, safely, we want to weigh it, we want to be careful and cautious. But actually, when we make space for God to speak, what does he do? He speaks. Then there are the evangelists. Now, we had a little leadership get-together, sort of a wider leadership, house group leaders and sort of leadership teams the other day, and it was really interesting because we split up into the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And I think it was just Callie and Chris, the evangelists. You know, again, we're all called to evangelism, but there are a few who are specifically called to this evangelistic ministry, who have a particular ministry to lead people to that place where they make a commitment to Christ. I have a number of people in this church whose calling is that. But what happened, I want to talk a little bit about this, just to get you thinking about it. What happened recently, I think it's when Callie and Scott started saying, well, we want to do Alpha. Now, we've got a number of people who go out and evangelize on the streets, and there is a whole load of different things going on. But what that did was it put evangelism on the agenda of the whole church. And what it did was it just brought evangelism in line with the other kind of parts of this fivefold ministry that we've been talking about today. And I felt that something shifted and changed. When we started taking our responsibility for evangelism seriously, something changed in the life of the church. And I don't think this is a journey that just this is happening here in this church. It's happening across the nation. More and more churches are embracing this need to have evangelistic ministry alongside of the apostolic and the prophetic and the pastors and the teachers. Because it's easy for it to be down there. And it's doing this. It's really exciting, really exciting. So the evangelists have quite a particular ministry to just work with people to come to that place of commitment, and nothing gets them more excited than seeing people come to Christ. Isn't that right? Yeah. Okay. So then the pastors. Pastors are the shepherds of the flock. They're naturally good at building relationships with people and showing God's love through their care and their actions. They're leaning towards either practical or emotional support, but the motivation is always for people to feel cared for. We need pastors. Yeah? We need pastors, as we need evangelists, as we need the prophets, and as we need the apostles. And then, just a little bit, the fruit of the pastor is that people know that they're loved by God. They know that they're loved by God, and they feel safe and secure in that. Okay? And then teachers. Teachers are about bringing enlightenment and helping people understand the things of God. Their motivation is to see people growing in their faith, for them to grow in their understanding of God and the Bible, and to see people coming into their true identity in Christ. They love it when people ask questions. They like to meditate and read and reflect. And they want to communicate out of that and share out of that. That's a real snapshot of those fivefold ministries. Jesus was the only one who was the perfect apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. I don't know anyone who has all five. We're different and we're diverse. But God has called us. And some people have a primary calling and a kind of a secondary one alongside. Yeah, I'm going to, right, if I pick on you again, Donna, sorry. Donna has an apostolic workplace ministry, but in the eldership, we see another leaning in her gifting, which is towards the pastoral. And it's always about, are we caring? How are we caring? Yeah? And it's really important. My leaning is more towards the apostolic. So I'm all the time thinking, how do we change the world? And sometimes I forget that actually we do need to create an environment in which people are being loved and cared for. Doesn't mean I don't care, because I, like Donna, that's the other side of my gifting, is the pastoral. But primarily, we're pushing on. Okay, we need balance in the fivefold ministry. We need to understand what it is that God has called us to, and we need to be ministering and moving in that. But, and as we, again, particularly as we establish leadership, it does need to be reflected, because it will have an impact upon the wider church. I think something's happened in culture that's really important, and I want to share it in the light of what we've said already today. Because what's happened over the last 500 years, since the reformation of the church, there was quite a change, a necessary change, a needed change. But this has mirrored a change in culture and society called Enlightenment, and alongside that something called modernity, where there's been quite an individualistic approach to life, but there's also quite a focus upon the mind and about working things out. You think about technological advances over the last few hundred years. Think about it. It's been incredible. And this has shaped the church. And this has had quite an impact upon the church. And the impact upon the church is this, is it's made the fivefold ministry that we're talking about today gets slightly out of balance. So what happened with the influence of the Enlightenment and modernity is that pastor-teacher role became really important. And it became more important than some of these other roles within the life of the church. So if you think about it, if pastor-teacher is the main... I have to be honest, that's what I was trained for. I was trained as a pastor teacher. You didn't talk about the apostolic when I was at college 15, 20 years ago. I was trained as a pastor teacher because there is this emphasis upon pastor teacher in the life of the church. What's happening, I think, and there are a whole host of reasons for this, but it's happening across the church now, is this balance is coming. We're understanding that there's a need for the apostolic, but the gospel is about all things everywhere, coming under his rule and his reign. If we make it about pastor teacher, it's about me understanding more and feeling loved and cared for. Can you see how it could easily become very insular and inward looking? And we need to go beyond that. We need to say, actually, this is about all things everywhere coming under the rule and reign of Christ. And for that to happen, we need the apostles, and we need the prophets, and we need the pastors and teachers, but we need the evangelists. I think this is really important. For me, this was one of the most liberating truths in the last 7 or 8 years. I spent years training for ministry thinking, why do I feel like a square peg in a round hole? Why do I sit at college thinking, all you other people training, you're the proper ministers, I'm just going to get found out anytime soon. Jeremy Beadle is going to jump out and say, ha ha ha, we got ya. That's how I felt. Until I understood what my gifting was. And it was like, ah, great. I understand. That's why we're looking at this community and we're saying, okay, how can we bring the kingdom of God, work, co-labor with God to bring the kingdom of God here in this place? How can we? But then what could so easily happen is we forget that actually we need to build a family here that reflects the kind of family, the kingdom family that God wants to build. So we say, okay, Chris, you're a pastor, you've got that pastoral heart, you know. So we invest. It's not all about Chris. Please, if we make it all about Chris, in this church, the pastoral care within this church, then we are missing the point big time. Chris is doing some fantastic stuff that only he can do because he's available and free during the week. But the pastoral care within the life of this church is the responsibility of everybody. But we need to understand that it just needs that correct emphasis and that correct focus. That's just one example. See what I mean about balance and alignment? And as we do that, we start to truly reflect who Christ is in his body. And we start to see the possibility of all things everywhere coming under his rule and his reign.